blessing to be at Union Church, a place that I've been coming to all my life. And Brother Joe mentioned how it's kind of crisp outside, but it's been my experience at Union Church. It's always been warm inside.
Very loving place. And indeed, you are a beautiful congregation this morning. We ask you to pray for us the time that we stand before you. Pray for your dear pastor, and Sister Jamie Brooke, Brother Cody. They'll be traveling, I assume, this afternoon. And for those that are not here this morning, several names were mentioned. We do appreciate the prayers on behalf of my precious mother, who I'm quite confident is listening in right now. You know, many times when I preach, and I preach to Mickey, the things that burden me, things that concern me, and I trust that's not a selfish approach to the ministry, but I would think that if it was a problem for me, it's probably a problem for you. And in many respects, this has not been a good week for us. So much tragedy and on every hand, it seems like. You know, Tuesday night, I know this is going out over the media, but it is what it is. I was expecting a red wave in this country. I'll go on record saying today I'm not all bought into the Republican Party, but I'm certainly not to the Democratic Party. You know, the Bible says Thomas Jefferson said only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. And the farther we drift from this book, the greater the consequences are going to be for the citizens of this land. It concerns me deeply. I tell you, almost every Sunday morning I listen to a brief devotion from a close associate of mine and from the coaching world days past. And Sister Kathy worked with him at Dexter for a long time. And he said this morning on his devotion that he's like me. You don't try to bring politics into the church, into the religious setting. This is about, Brother Joe told you what this is about today. It's about honoring the supreme authority. The one that has the hearts of kings in his very hands. And all power. He hadn't relinquished any power. Certainly his grace is sufficient. But this Coach Fortenberry said that he heard a political analyst say this week that until the Republican, the only issue that's preventing a red wave in this country, it won't happen. He said this political analyst said it would not happen until the Republican Party changed their position on abortion. I didn't hear that. He heard a political analyst say that. And God have mercy on our people. You know, and then just so many things that this past week I heard about a coach at West Marion School, and she retired a little early to take care of her parents whose health is failing. She lost her husband 2 years ago, and this past week they buried her son, 33-year-old son-in-law, who, as they stood by the casket with a grieving mother that was between 4 and 5 months pregnant. You know, another situation I'm related to him on his daddy's side of town. Sister Amy Fredette's related to him on his mother's side. 44 years old, the victim of a domestic homicide. I went to his funeral yesterday over in Lawrence County. I heard a little about a little almost 4-year-old boy, special needs child. That was buried this last week as well. Seemed like there was another. Maybe I'm overlooking. But oh yeah, I noticed on the funeral home website the other day, one of the ones in Pike County, a young girl, same age as my baby daughter, 25 years old. They're having a funeral for her, and Sister Cindy Easley told me that she was en route from Florida back to this area. She was going to take a job at North Oaks in Hammond. Her boyfriend was helping her move back, and they were rear-ended The vehicle they were driving was rear-ended by a criminal in a stolen vehicle, and she lost her life. You know, these people I mentioned this morning are not real, real close to me in a natural sense of ties of nature, and but still my heart grieves for these people. You know, this morning, many of you already asked about my mom. We've had some tough roads lately. It's been tough. But through the prayers of the saints, she's doing so much better. And the one thing I learned about the Old Baptist Church, it's a simple doctrine. It gives all glory and honor to God. It tells us if we try to serve God and mammon, we cannot do that. Materialistic possessions in this life have very little value in the grand scheme of things. You've heard me say many times from this pulpit, some of those are my natural family. I thought, you know, when I was growing up, and you know, you've heard me say this before. If I said, if I can ever make a lot of money, I'm gonna buy a couple of my aunts a new house. But as I got older, I realized they were two of the happiest people that I knew. There have been times in my life when I would try to make an effort to preach here at Union Church. And Sister Sarah Jackson, my beloved aunt, would come here in the front of the church after service was over, and she'd have two $1 bills rolled up tightly. And she's sticking it in my shirt pocket. The last thing she ever said to me was, "I'm sure glad you came to see me today. Come back when you can. Come back when you can." Now I get to one day to go see her. When the Lord comes back with all the holy angels with Him. Friends, we are blessed people. That's all I want for Thanksgiving this year. That's all I want for Christmas. Just to have my family together in peace. What a great blessing it is. I've been here before when there's empty chairs at the Thanksgiving table or at the Christmas table. And it grieves our heart. It brings great distress into our life. But let's pray for those it's our duty to pray for this morning. You know, We've got to turn back to the old ways. You know, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, says, "Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is a good way, and walk therein." You know, it takes a good history scholar. If I ask you today who Edward Everett was, and you know the answer to that, you're probably a history buff, more than likely. If you could tell me who Edward Everett was. In October of 1863, he stood at the battlefield at Gettysburg and spoke for 2 hours before the keynote speaker, President Abraham Lincoln, stood up and spoke for 2 minutes. Nobody can remember who Edward Everett was. I'm not condemning him, being critical of him, but you know, in that Thanksgiving proclamation issued in October of 1863 in the middle of the Civil War, there are some things that we need to pay attention to. One thing in that very short proclamation, it says, "We are prone to forget the source of all our blessings." We are prone to forget the source of all our blessings. How many times we mention James 1:17 at this church? "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of light, in which there is no variableness, no shadow of turning." Also, in that same brief proclamation that President Abraham Lincoln issued, it mentions the watchful providence of Almighty God. The watchful providence of Almighty God. In that proclamation, it says He set aside the fourth Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. That was 1863. We're 2022, and we're still, I trust, observing that day of thanksgiving and praise. You know, the commercialism of this country, they'll put out the Christmas. I think we'll put out Christmas stuff after the 4th of July soon. But don't forget about Thanksgiving. Yes, I celebrate the birth of the Son of God, trust me. But I don't want to skip Thanksgiving for all the blessings that he's bestowed upon us and in my lifetime. Brother Joe mentioned this morning. In that same passage of the same proclamation, he mentions our beneficent Father, capital F, which dwelleth in the heavens. He mentions calling upon the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of this nation. He mentions in that proclamation the gracious gifts of Almighty God. Abraham Lincoln's parents are buried at a Primitive Baptist Church in Indiana, I believe it is. Some of our people have been there at that church where they've seen the graves of it. But I would love for the CEO of this great government to make such a statement on public television. That we forget, we're prone to forget the source of all our blessings. What a blessed people we are. I want to read to you this morning from 3 John. It's only one chapter, so it's not really a chapter number given, but it's, I guess it's chapter 1 of the third epistle of John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You get to find, reading in the Bible, you'll find several Gaiuses. Sometimes it gets confusing about which one they're talking about. Sometimes even John, are they talking about John the Revelator or John the Baptist? And you have to be careful as you read and understand who they're talking about. But there's several Gaiuses in the Bible, one from Corinth, one from Derbe, one from Macedonia. But this one is a yoke fellow. Of the great apostle John. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom it thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." You know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, I think it is, says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some have entertained strangers, angels unawares." Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Sometimes on our Zoom service on Wednesday night, there'll be a comment made about when one of those who come to worship with us stayed with Brother Joe or Brother Russell. Brother Ryan talked about his pond, going fishing in his pond, about the music that we played, the entertainment and the hospitality that was given unto these. Friends, we live in a cold, dark world. We need to reach out to each other in love. And you know, in Romans chapter 12, it begins something like this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Go a little further into Romans chapter 12, about verse 12 or 13. It speaks of those about the children of God being about them rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I think the word hospitality is only mentioned in the Bible four different times. But think about those, just those five right there. That we're encouraged to do those things as we live upon the earth, and time is slipping by. I can assure you, dear friends. I thought about my precious mom. If the Lord will bless her, will be 83 the 25th of January of next year. That's beyond the fourscore years that's mentioned in Psalm 90 and 10. But it sneaks up on you. The generation before us, before we know it, it seems like they're elderly, and you begin to contemplate, you know, a world without them in it. But you know, as the Bible says, if only in this life I had hope in Christ, I'd be of all men most miserable. Friends, one day those graves are going to open. And the elect family of God is coming out of those graves at the powerful voice of the Son of God. What a day that will be. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Think about that. As he said in Matthew chapter 25, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Those disciples were very confused about that. Lord said, when do we do those things unto you? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, he says this, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. As you might expect, being the son of a primitive Baptist minister, my dad's traveled a lot of miles in the church. We've stayed in a lot of homes across this land. Been treated like royalty and been treated like kings. And you know, I remember Brother Ronald Lawrence talking about that one time from this very pulpit. You know, let me back up. Let me get back to Brother Ricky Harcrow for just a minute. Years ago, when Brother Ricky was in the ministry, he hired a secretary and there in his office, and she was going to, he was telling her she's going off to preach. He's going to get off, he's going to leave, and after work Thursday, he's going to be gone because he's going to travel and be at a meeting that weekend. And she said, Mr. Harcrow, do you want me to make hotel accommodations for you? And he said, no, I don't. I said, well, where are you going to stay? Where are you going to sleep? He named the person's name he's going to stay with and said, do you know them? He said, no. Don't understand that, do we? Some people just cannot understand that. But we need to be given to hospitality. Distributing to the necessity of the saints is what it says in Romans chapter 12. You know, if you look at the qualifications of a bishop, and I won't roll you through all these, but in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, this is the true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop or an elder in the church, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. It goes on to one that ruleth his own house well. Well, that gets some of it sometimes. You've got to be careful with that one. But in the third, get back to the third epistle of John. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness to thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such. He wrote about Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, who received us not. You know, in Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, and maybe in Mark chapter 8, he said, he that receiveth you, talking to his disciples, said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That's something for us to consider in this life. I know many times you've had your children's friends stay in your home. I used to bring a little boy of a different race home with me, and you know, when I got home, he'd ride the school bus with me, get off at my house and stay with us. Of course, I would, you know, kiss Sister Karen. I would hug my children. And he said, Coach Myers, y'all do this lovey-dovey stuff all the time? I said, yeah, we sure do. We sure do, son. And probably the best compliment I ever got. I wish you and Miss Karen were my mom and daddy. There's a lot of hurting people in this world. We need to be distributing to the necessity of the saints and given the hospitality. praying for those it's our duty to pray for. You know, those situations I mentioned this morning. Coach Fortenberry said the young expectant mother who buried her husband last week, buried her daddy 2 years ago, both her grandparents on her mama's side of the family in bad health. Coach Fortenberry said she cried all day the other day. I can't fix that. I can't fix that. I can't take away the pain that she feels and the loneliness and the concerns that she has in this life. But I can point her toward one who can. And he would deliver us from the storms of this life. Back to the third epistle of John for just a moment. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. Demetrius had good report of all men. Skip down to the last verse. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Greet the friends by name. I imagine everyone in under the sound of my voice knows everyone else in here by name this morning. But if not, I encourage you to learn the names of these precious brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our church family. We just need to love each other. You know, you'll find a lot of things in the Bible. I love the story about the Good Samaritan. We will give that this morning for time's sake, but go read about that occasion. There was a lawyer stood up and he was tempting the Lord and said, what shall I do to gain eternal life and to have eternal life? I think it says there. And he says, what readest thou in the law? What does the law say about it? It says to love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we've been asking, you know, said, who is thy neighbor? He said, who is thy neighbor? And he said, begin to give an account and this is not really, I don't think this is a parable because the Bible says, it kept saying a certain man, a certain thing. When Brother Rick Argo said, if it says about a certain thing in the Bible, a certain water, a certain man, or whatever the case may be, it's something that literally happened. It's not a parable to teach us about a lesson, but it's actually something that literally happened. So this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was a Jew, fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment and left him on the road for dead. So a priest came by and a Levite came by and a good Samaritan came by. A man from Samaria who had no dealings with the Jews. In the Bible, you can read about that yourself. What great compassion he showed for him. What great care he had. You know, there's a time in Scripture, I think exactly where it's in the Bible, but there was a time in Scripture where the Lord made this great statement. There were some there who had not eaten in 3 days. And the Bible says that the Lord had compassion upon them. He said, I can't send them away because they're fainting away. Divers of them came from far. Some of them had traveled a long way. They had a long way to get back home. And they hadn't eaten in 3 days, but the Lord had compassion upon them. Church down at Lexi, I served down there last Sunday, ate in the home of Brother Darrell and Sister Diane Broom after church. She's got a little home decor thing in her kitchen that says "Children eat free." I asked her before, how old is that? And Bob, children. She said, "You're a child. Come on in." I can't emphasize it enough this morning that we need to be hospitable to each other. We need to encourage each other. You know, last time I tried to preach on Zoom. I think it was. I tried to preach on Barnabas. If you didn't go read about Barnabas, you get a concordance. And every time it talks about Barnabas, go read that passage of Scripture. You'll be encouraged. And I encourage you to try to become more like him. You think about the ones in your life that have made a great impact on you with just simple things that they've done. Brother Seth has mentioned to me twice this week about how much Brother Hugh Sanders has been reaching out to them with Sister Debbie's condition. But you never forget those things. Brother Hugh Sanders, to me, is one of the greatest pastors among our people. I love him dearly. I've told you before, if you got a child in Hattiesburg, you need to get to know him. Him and Sister Becky, it can pay great benefit to you. And I'm not here. I'm not here to cast a light on any person. Brother Joe Ray told you this morning why we're here. It's to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was times and times again in Scripture where people went out of their way to help someone else. There was times when they said, "No, I'm not going to help you." And sometimes there were consequences too, and I've seen that situation many times. You go back to, you know, in Exodus chapter 17. I love over there where, you know, the Lord, they were without water. They were in that journey from, think about the journey from, they were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. And finally, the Israelite children had been released from bondage. And the journey, they made that journey not long ago for the funeral of Jacob. When Jacob died, there was a great funeral procession back to Canaan's land because he wanted to be buried there. It took 11 days, is what it should have taken to get there. 11 days to make that journey. When Joseph died in Egypt, he said, "Don't leave me here. When the Lord blesses you to go back to Canaan's land, dig my bones up and take them with you." But that 11-day journey took them 40 years. You know, sometimes we underestimate, don't we? The numbers that should be aren't there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to sing about Brother Jill for just a moment. I appreciate so much his humble prayer this morning. But Brother Jill, I'm going to tell you, I think you undersold some things there this morning. Brother, he said the Lord has blessed us tenfold above what we deserve. I think he's blessed me a hundredfold. I really do. A hundredfold above what I deserve. What a blessed people we are. But you tell me in Exodus chapter 17, it said, "Bring together that assembly, and you take that rod of Aaron, and you smite that rock. You smite it. You hit that rock, and water will come forth." And it did. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 17. Numbers chapter 20, the scenario is pretty much the same. He had told them to, you know, he did on this occasion, though, he said, you know, don't smite the rock. Just speak to the rock, and water will come forth. You know, Moses got there on that occasion. He took that rod of Aaron, and he made a statement that I heard my daddy mention many times from the pulpit. "Must we fetch water for ye rebels? Must we?" My dad said he's putting himself on equal footing with God. "Must we bring forth water for ye rebels?" You know what he did as he did before? I believe he said he smoked the rock twice. But water came forth abundantly. And the children did drink, and their cattle and the beasts also. That's because we serve a merciful God. It would have been just if there was dust that came out of that rock instead of water on that occasion. But shortly after that happened, they asked to go. They were going on toward Canaan's land. They would need to go through a place called Edom. And they said, "You know, we'll go. We need to go through the." Let me turn there to it. Back over Numbers chapter 20. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. This is Numbers 20, beginning by verse 14. Thus saith my brother Israel, "Thou knowest all the travail that hath fallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and it brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand or to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then we will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through the border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. Simple request. We're passing through your land. All we want to do is pass on the king's highway. If we drink any water from the wells there, we'll pay you for it. He said, no, you're not going to pass through my land. The Lord gave him another route.
They eventually made the Canaan's land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, then promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Judges chapter 8, we find an account, similar account with Gideon. He requested what he requested was that the king of Succoth give them food to eat, some bread. He said he had 300 soldiers traveling with him. They were faint. They were weary. They were hungry. And he said, when you come through, just give us 300 loaves of bread, I think it was, or loaves of bread that we may eat. And he said, he was in pursuit of Zeba and Zalmana, I think it was, the kings of Midian, the Midianites. He was in pursuit of them. And this king said, have you already conquered them? He said, no, we haven't, but we're in pursuit. He said, well, I'm not going to give you any water. I mean, any bread. I'm not going to, why should I take my bread to give to you? And he said, he told him something. He said, if you don't, when those king of the Midianites are in my hands, I'm going to come back and with the briars of the wilderness and the thorns. And you can read that in God's word. Let's see, Judges chapter 8. Let me turn it real quickly and read that to you in your hearing this morning. Judges chapter 8 says, when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the hosts. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. Skip down to verse 15. No, 16. And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. Now, what kind of lesson did he teach them? It wasn't a very pleasant lesson, I can tell you. You had an opportunity to give me bread. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, now therefore, seeing you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. That's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. That's almost a commandment from the Lord. Seeing now that you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But said he took the elders of the city, and he took the thorns and briars of the wilderness, and he taught the people of Succoth. They probably would have been better off on the front end to get 300 loaves of bread. Was a lot better, or how much they come up with for 300 soldiers. I keep saying 300 loaves of bread. I mean loaves of bread they wanted, but they wanted some food to sustain them to go in pursuit of this enemy of the Midianites. This morning we're gonna close with over in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 and into Acts chapter 28, we find the Apostle Paul on the ship. He went to the captains of the ship and said, I perceive this is going to be a dangerous journey. He got in a vision. He was told that there was going to be a lot of damage to the ship, to the sailing vessel itself, and to the cargo on board, but none of the lives would be saved. You'll find there was 276 men on that ship. 276 men. I guess that included the Apostle Paul. The Bible says they got into tell us about the route that they took, and it says they got out into tempestuous waters, and they got into a storm called a seasonal wind called Euroclydon, which is a seasonal wind that caused a tempest on the sea, caused high waves and difficult sailing, danger to the vessels that were on that water. And the Bible says the sun and stars did not appear for several days. It was completely cloudy. And all hope that they were saved was lost. And I'm paraphrasing there, but eternal salvation, no. Paul talked about their natural lives. He thought they were going to drown in that sea on that occasion. The Bible says that they hit a sandbar, basically, and the ship broke apart. And there was 276 on board that ship. And they began to sail, to swim toward the ones that could swim. The ones that couldn't floated on boards that were broken apart from that sailing vessel. And all 276 made it safely. And in chapter 27, the book of Acts, it says, I'm sorry, 27 is where I was. Then the 28, chapter 28 says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, which is the island Malta now. And the barbarous people shewed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Think about that this morning. 276 souls on board that ship. I tell you, it says back over in verse 20 of chapter 27, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, he began to tell them what they should or shouldn't have done. And he said, Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. They got to the island, and they were barbarous, uncivilized people as far as in comparison to the Apostle Paul. And said they've kindled a fire because of the present rain and the cold. Friends, I tell you this morning, we live in a stormy world. We live in a cold world. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Your good works is not going to have any bearing whatsoever on your eternal salvation. I know you understand this morning. But what it will do is benefit you in this present world. The Bible says our labors of love in the Lord are not in vain. I still think back to the association. What a great blessing it was this time of Antioch. After 3 years, we didn't be able to have it because of COVID. We were able to host it this year. And I'm going to tell you what, on Sunday morning, most of you were there. Most of you were there. Union Church was well represented at the association. Friends, there's something special here at Union Church. I travel a lot. Brother Travis Brown. Y'all love Elder Travis Brown? Amen. I love that dear brother. He asked for prayer at the association for a little church at Corsicana, Texas. He says, Brethren, we are literally embraced in that where two or three are gathered together in my name. You mean there's old Baptist churches meeting today with two or three folks there? Yes, there are. Yes, they are. Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. I've told you before, one of my instructors at USM told a class full of prospective coaches one time, he said, let me give you some good advice this morning. He said, the best advice I can give you is when you get that first coaching job, you start visiting churches in that community and you find the one that has the greatest influence on what goes on at that school and you attend worship services with those people. Brother Jeff, that's the best advice he can give me. I don't want to hear the worst advice. What I'm telling you this morning, friends, is I passed several churches to get here this morning. Why am I here? Because you gave me a wonderful privilege of being here on the second Sunday. And I think about you every Sunday. When I'm somewhere else, I still think about Union Church. What Brother James, or Brother Joe, or Brother Luke, or whoever's up here, whatever, I wonder what they're preaching on this morning. Friends, we're a blessed people. Let's rejoice in hope. Let's be patient in tribulation. Let's continue instantly in prayer. Let's distribute to the necessity of the saints. Let us be given to hospitality. You know, it said here, as they gather together, these people on that island built a fire. I believe the Apostle Paul was wet. I know he was wet, and I believe he was cold. It said it was present cold. It was cold then. And when you're wet and cold, you'd be miserable. They built a fire. Oh, I don't know. Sad to say, we don't build campfires now as much as we used to when I was a kid. I love those old campfires. We'd get together around the fire with people you love and just talk and visit. But it says there that Paul gathered some sticks too.
He gathered some sticks. But he began to put them on the fire. There was a viper. Came out of that, a venomous snake came out of that fire and bit Paul, the Apostle Paul, on the hand, on the arm. He shook him off, and when he didn't collapse or begin to sustain medical problems, they said, "This man's a god," lowercase g. You know, there was a man on that island that had a medical problem as well. It says here, the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. You see how giving and loving and being compassionate is a two-way street? You know, I thought about that verse in Scripture where Peter's mother-in-law was sick, had a fever. And Jesus Christ went in and healed Peter's mother-in-law. That fever touched her hand, and immediately the fever left her. And what did she do? She arose and ministered unto them. That's what Proverbs 31 women do. You know, over to the association on Saturday afternoon, there were several. Went over to visit my mom for just a little while. She was only able to be there on Sunday morning. And you have an interesting story there too, Brother Russell. When Brother Jeb got out of my mama's seat. Brother Russell said, "Brother Jeb, oh, we got to high stepping when Sister Sharon came in, because we had already remarked about that being her seat." But I like what somebody said about Sister Betty Bishop. Brother James Conley, I think, mentioned that Wednesday night out at Milton Creek. He said, you know, she said, "That's fine if visitors in her seat. She'd rather have visitors than have her seat." That's the way I feel about it. But you know, on that afternoon, my mom was there, not feeling good. Brother Luke Addison knelt at her chair. And some of y'all were there. You heard it. What a prayer he offered. And my mom said, "Brother Luke, won't you let me get up and fix you something to drink?" He said, "No, Sister Sharon, we don't need anything to drink. We're here to visit with you." Well, that's exactly what Peter's mother-in-law did. When she got well, when the Lord healed her, she got up and ministered to the Lord's children. You precious sisters in this church, I think quite often about the labors of love that you've put forth on behalf of your family. These daddies in the congregation. This is a blessed place. If there's a Parents Hall of Fame, Union will have their own wing at it. I know they will. Let's continue to love each other. It grieves my heart when I hear about these things that I mentioned to you this morning, about these young people losing their life. Some of it senselessly, and some of you just don't understand why it has to be that way. But did God make a mistake? No. 1,000 times, no. My dad used to say he's too wise to make a mistake. You know, sometimes those who's who elections at school, we have kids from this church, they all kind of things, you know, all kind of prestigious who's who honors at school. One of my favorite ones across the years, and I was in school business for a long, long time, one of my favorite who's who election positions is friendliest. Friendliest. Those that no student on the student body is above them, none's beneath them. Let's encourage each other. Brother Joe mentioned it this morning. Brother James is preaching in Texas today, but he'll probably ask Sister Jenny, "Who was at church?" Who's at church today? That's what I do with my children. My children go one place and I go somewhere else. Who's at church today? Well, I want to know that. Because I care about the flock. I want you to come to the refuge. I mean, you're here. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just expressing to you what I want and what you need. That makes sense to you? I want you to be at the Lord's house at the appointed time. And you need it. We need each other. This is a cold, dark world. Let's build a fire and extend hospitality. You've done it. I'm not talking to you as one of those things you haven't done, but I trust I'm just giving you a little encouragement to keep it up. To keep it up. You never know what a kind word, fitly spoken, in due season, how sweet it is, the Bible says. I trust if you got anything on what I tried to preach this morning, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory where it's due Him. Continue to pray for me, for all the elders of our churches, for every church member, and particularly for those whose life was affected this past week, for the rest of their life to change forever in losing these precious loved ones from their family. May the Lord bless you. It's our prayer this morning.